Well, of course, that's what I'm going to talk about, all right? Social media. Hi again, everybody. And I forgot the hashtag. Hashtag, right? How many of you are tweeting here right now as we speak? One, two. Well, okay. Good for you. You should come up here and make the presentation with me. Let me just say you a little bit about why I'm talking what I'm talking about here. Abaya and I have been working together on a chapter for a book that she is the editor of, and one of the chapters is about social media and aid effectiveness. So we started that process maybe 2 years ago,
yeah,
right?
It took a long time.
It took a long time, and when I was preparing this presentation, I said, oh man, this is already outdated. We have to change things in there, so we have to get this thing out, otherwise I keep working on it for the next 10 years. So let me talk to you a little bit about social media and why they have become so important in aid effectiveness, and thank you for defining it, Henry. I'm going to use it rather loosely. It's going to be aid effectiveness, but also government effectiveness and private sector effectiveness in providing people in developing countries with basic services that meet the basic human rights. So just a little bit at the, about the background. When you look at just Africa, what happened over the last 10 years, it's just amazing. Over 200 million people today have access to the internet. And I remember times where there was no internet. We were communicating by teletype machines. I don't even remember. Well, then came faxes. No, there was even before faxes. And telex, there we go. And then all of a sudden, there was access to internet. The squeaky modem, right, the kind we don't use anymore. But those were the first, and all of a sudden we had at least email. And then this just took off so rapidly. Now when we travel in Africa, and even in smaller towns, there's access to the internet in the hotels we're staying in. And I'm not talking about the most fancy ones either. There are internet cafes all over the place. Mobile phones have even taken off more rapidly. There are over 400 million mobile phone users. Now, smartphones is still lagging in Africa, but boy, if the trend continues 2 years, 3 years from now, we are going to sing a very different song. There's going to be so much access to this kind of technology. So, talking about social media, when you Google it, right, and then Google has these images that come up. Most images related to social media is a cluttered mess of colored dots. There are so many applications. That's not what I'm going to talk about. We all have our preferences. We all have our tools. However, we took, for the chapter in this book, we took a specific look at what are the tools that really seem to have made a difference when it comes to government accountability, aid effectiveness, and there are just a few of them. So it's a little bit selective and subjective, and the examples I'm going to use are really just to show you some of the things that social media has done. It's subjective as well. These are not the only tools out there, and these may be not even be the best tools. You can probably give me 10 other examples for the ones that I'm going to use. So look at it in this context. So I can't do it entirely justice. My first real appreciation of social media came through LinkedIn, where we were desperately looking for a proposal writer who had experience in grants management, and we looked in the usual places in DevEx, we advertised, Monster.com, found really not the right person. Well, lo and behold, when I looked at my LinkedIn connections, we found at least two people. So that was nice. It actually works. You may have other examples, and I wish we were at the time to talk some about those. Why social media has become so important, it's not because we don't have data anymore. We have tons of data out there. When you look at the macro level, we have the World Development Indicators, and there are probably well over 100 of them. I haven't really counted. On the other side, when you look at the projects we are implementing, one that Oscar just presented, we have also tons of information, but at a micro level. And all this information isn't really accessible to the people that whose life we try to better, right? And to the frontline health workers, to the farmers out there. And so social media has become a way to get information to frontline health workers and to hear from the so-called beneficiaries, give people a voice. And so social media can really bridge the gap between a very data-rich environment that is also very information-poor. And in health, in agriculture, in economic growth, there are a number of social media applications, but also in governance and politics. Unfortunately, in governance and politics, it's difficult because we really don't have great metrics. But what happens when you don't have good measurements and indicators to hold people accountable, you have an imbalance of information. So government usually has information that is not transparent to its citizens. So making data accessible is a key in social media. What has happened, though, is governments are really behind the curve here. They are not among the early adopters. They are in probably this part of that...
Laggards.
The laggards, yeah, right. And so citizens tend to be actually better informed these days. And that was from also a statement that was made at the Brookings Institute in an event a couple of years ago. Aid is discussed much more broadly than maybe 10, 20 years ago. It's not anymore a specialized, special interest group. But it has become very public. Huffington Post, many other media report routinely about it. So let's talk a little bit about the real applications here. So let me ask you, what do the Arab Spring, the earthquake in Haiti that we all remember, and election violence 2 years ago in Kenya have all in common? What?
Facebook.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. I like that. Can we all get up? Because for the next slide, I need you to be moving a little bit with me. Come on, guys. Come on. Shake the body here. So rather than saying more... Hey, let's go. Hey, you got it down. Thank you. Yeah. To know where these pictures are going to end up. Thank you for being a sport about it. I didn't make this video. I thought it was just very cute and very encouraging. The credit actually has to go to Warner Tidwell and Mary Catherine Field, who prepared a Prezi presentation. That's where I got it from. This is not a YouTube video. I have no idea who put it actually together. It probably was the two of them. And what I thought is, obviously, on the social networking sites, you have a lot of video footage. And a lot of it is rather disturbing, I must say, because it shows the actual violence that's going on, and which is a real public health threat. I think this has been mentioned in several sessions here. So this was a video that was really much more inspiring. I hope you liked it as much as I did. Besides, the music is just great. It was played by a pretty well-known band. So going from the right, we talked a lot about action, taking the right action, and certainly social media is so hands-on. The information is at people's fingertips that you can directly move from information to action. And certainly civil action, as you have certainly when you followed the Arab Spring, what's happening in Syria, in Iraq, and etc. Social media, and it's not just Facebook, it's Twitter, it's a few of the other communications tools. Instagram has become very, very popular, plays a big role there. But it has also played a role in emergency response, like the earthquake in Haiti, connecting people who were totally lost and finding relatives. Then when you move to the left, there are applications now quite frequently used that provide market information to frontline agricultural, to farmers, for example, about the latest market prices of some of the cash products. And obviously what that helps them to do is to sell when the prices are high. Social media is a very big equalizer. And it may not be accessible by everybody yet in some of the developing countries, but more and more it will be. And it also gives the poorest and the most vulnerable a voice. When those health centers in Peru or wherever else not delivering quality of care, they will have a voice and they will be able to say it. And we are developing applications that allows them to do so. In general, it's a wonderful tool for accountability during elections. And for advocacy in general. Just for those who are curious and want to take a step back and see, how long do we have this technology, really? Well, it's not that long. But then again, when you look at, for example, the use of SMSs, it's over 20 years old already, the technology. And I don't know whether you remember, but one of the first applications was actually an application to prevent that people buy counterfeited drugs, Empedigree. And I think it's still very active, and it's certainly used quite a bit in West Africa. That was, it's not quite 20 years old yet, but it was a very early application of using SMS. We only started talking about blogs like in 1999. They existed before, but they were called weblogs. And we probably all, who doesn't use Wikipedia here? It has become a great source for information in a very democratic way and updating information out on the internet. Mentioned LinkedIn already, Facebook, 10 years old. And Instagram in 2010 was added because it allows you to post your photos. Who's using Instagram here? Quite a few. So what does it do? In a very brief sentence, what does it make better and easier? Okay, all right, go with that. So let me mention some of the social media applications here. So Ushahidi, who knows about Ushahidi? Okay, great. They were really at the forefront on using social media for crowd mapping. Again, it was done during elections, and people could report in any irregularities. So there was quite an elaborate validation process. You don't just always take at face value what social media produce. And that was then also used in the Ghana elections 2 years ago. Some other well-known applications is MAMA, Mobile Alliance for Maternal Action, who has who knows about that? It's supported by USA, Johnson & Johnson, and a few others. I listed Plan International here because they made such a great use of videos telling their story, but there are many other organizations as well. Are there still barriers? Unfortunately, yes. So the one thing on the slide here was Majima Tone raising the water pressure in Tanzania. It did not work because of technology. It worked. People were afraid to rat on government because they won't deliver safe water. So we need to work on that angle as well. I'm not regressing. I'm not going to send you a postcard with a stamp on it. There's actually an application that allows you to send postcards. You have to weigh the time and value when we use social media, because it can be very time-consuming and the information is not always great out there. If we use social media, we have to be short, it has to be fresh, we have to frequently update, and we have to be nice to each other. And finally, if we expect others to share, probably people expect the same from us. Well, needless to say, watch out what we put on the internet, because it's an open secret for everybody, and even when we think it is secret or safe, it still isn't, like Target and Home Depot.
It's
and
not
a
secret.
Ah, boy, yeah, isn't that a trouble? Well,
good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.